Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When I'm on the subway, the 3 million followers, pretty much it gets me like someone being like, hey, nice.
What's up, Lightweights Podcast? My name's Joe. Today's guest, we have Kyle Gordon, TikTok superstar, internet powerhouse, musical sensation.
Nick DMs me on TikTok, was like, hey, what are you doing?
No. Shut up.
You probably recognize his face from your For You page, and he's been killing it with these different genre songs for the past year.
Black tears, they stain my broken cheeks. Put your hands up in the air.
His biggest song, Planet of the Bass, has over 250 million views.
And then the night before, they were also like, oh, also, we're going to be shooting at Courtney Cox's house.
He's a master of characters, a trained a cappella fella, and an all-around cool dude. So if you're new here, make sure to hit the subscribe button. Stay up to date on what I'm posting. It's just me here. I have no producers, no editors. It's just me, so a subscribe will go a very long way. Leave a like and enjoy the Kyle Gordon podcast. How did you become friends with the Jonas Brothers?
Yeah, they're my close personal friends. Yeah, like, yeah.
Texting nonstop.
I mean, one flex I do, like, so I played at their show in Boston. I did, like, they have this really interesting thing because their show is really long, so they have like a halftime, and that's when I played, was like the halftime of their show. So when we were setting it all up, I do have like all three of them in a group chat that I just, and I like butt dialed all of them. So they're like, is everything okay? I was like, sorry, butt dial. Sorry, Kevin, butt dial. But no, so actually that happened because, so I actually, Nick had been following me. We'd been following each other on TikTok for a while, but we'd never really communicated because, I don't know, I feel like people just end up following each other, but they don't, like, you know, chat or whatever. But then literally I was coming back from filming the music video for Planet of the Bass, which is the song I played at their show. I was like literally in the Columbus, Ohio airport, and like Nick DMs me on TikTok, was like, hey, what are you doing? Like, no.
Shut up.
So yeah, it pretty much happened like that. And then we started talking, and then he was like, oh, do you want to come do the show? I was supposed to do the Yankee Stadium show that night, but I wouldn't have gotten back in time. So they're like, oh, we're doing Boston the next night. So between when I knew I was like playing the show and when I actually got on stage was like less than 24 hours.
That quick?
Yeah.
That's Hollywood, baby.
Yeah, come on, movers and shakers, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, no, I mean, but they were super, super nice, super cool. The show was actually also, it was Joe's birthday, and I think Joe was like a fan and excited about my song, so that's why they also were like, oh, this is perfect, because Joe is a big fan. But it was really funny, like, I like met with all of them before the show, Joe, Nick, and then I met Kevin, and like I'm about to go on, and I think Kevin like knew me the least, and he was like totally justifiably, he's like, so have you, he was like, who are you?
Have you done a stadium before?
Literally, he was like, so have you been on stage before? Or like, I mean, totally he had a good like head on his shoulders, like it's a total reasonable question, like, you know, you're about to go on in front of like 20,000 people, like, what are you doing here? Like, yeah,
that's so crazy.
Yeah. So it was nuts.
Were you nervous performing in front of that many people?
Honestly, no. One, I think it helped because it all happened so fast. I couldn't even fully digest everything. Also, my song "Planet of the Bass" came out that morning, so like literally my head was in like 1,000 different places, which actually helped because I couldn't, like, if I had known a week before, I would have been like dwelling on every little detail.
I gotta get a routine going.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, all right, let, like, you know, doing like a, hiring a choreographer or something. But like literally, no, I wasn't really nervous. Also, like, it's one, I was doing one song. I was essentially just playing to track.
Was the girl that you were with, did she go too?
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah. So Audrey, who is, she plays one of the, so a little bit of the lore for people who might not know, I came out with a song, Planet of the Bass. The actual vocalist is this amazing vocalist named Chrissy Poland.
Oh, but it's not actually her.
No. No.
Wow. Yeah. Mind blown. Yeah, okay.
That's part of the lore is that.
And can you explain what the style of the song is that really just like killed it?
Yeah. So the song is a parody of like 90s Eurodance. So like the most famous would be like Aqua, Barbie Girl.
Chumbawamba.
Yeah. It's kind of, yeah. Or like Real McCoy, like another night, another dream, but always you. Yeah. Songs like that. Or like What Is Love is another like classic in that genre. And so, yeah, so it's a parody of that. And like a lot of those bands like Aqua, like the English is not always so great, or like Ace of Base. And so my song is like a parody of that style. And then also the lyrics are like incomprehensible nonsense. And so,
yeah.
Women Are My Favorite Guy is a particularly noteworthy lyric. But so I had the vocalist Chrissy Poland, and she was great. But then like in like the promo and videos for the song, I put a different actress lip syncing in each video, which is sort of a parody of that genre, because a lot of times those European groups in the 90s, they just pumped out so many songs. But and then they were like, if one of them became popular, they're like, can I curse?
Yeah.
They're like, fuck it, we'll just put a model in the video who's like not, like they would do that actually. Like they would actually have like models lip syncing who are not the actual singers. So that was kind of the parody, the concept I had for that. So Audrey, who was the first actress I had and also ended up being in the official music video, she came with me to Boston and played with the Jonas Brothers. And she like lip synced and like danced. And it was like, we literally had like 10 minutes. We got there to the arena, got on stage, met with their music director, and I literally like was with Audrey. I was like, okay, I'm gonna start the song, call you out, go down, back, like go to the sides, come back, and then we finish the song. Like we literally like put it together in like 10 minutes.
So when you finish that song, are you like, I gotta get off stage? Are you enjoying the moment?
Yeah, I did. Well, I like milked it for a minute, and I was like, because my character has this like very deep ambiguous European accent, so I was like, welcome back to the stage, the Jonas Brothers.
Did the crowd laugh? Did they get it?
So I think there was like 10% of people who knew who I was who were excited, and then understandably it's like, you know, tens of thousands of Jonas Brothers fans, so they're like, why is this short Latvian man yelling at me? So I think there was some awareness, and then a lot of people were like, what is going on?
Yeah. I think what's so cool about your videos is it transcends to everything. So you filming a video with Ed Sheeran.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, that was crazy.
How did that one come about?
So I think someone on his team reached out, and he had seen my videos and was a fan. And then we were just in LA at the same time. And yeah, it was really cool. And then literally the night before they were like, oh, if you want to shoot with Ed, let me know what you had.
If you want to shoot. Oh, okay.
I guess I'll do it. I mean, whatever. Like, yeah, maybe I'll pencil you in. I'll see if I have time. Like, yeah. And then the night before, they were also like, oh, also, we're going to be shooting at Courtney Cox's house.
Oh, is that where that was?
That was at Courtney Cox's house. Yeah.
In Malibu?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And like, also, like, I think that might have been my like second ever trip to LA. So it's like, you know, I'm getting the full like, ooh, I'm in Malibu, like, you know, like, yeah. So then that's how Courtney Cox ended up in the video too. And she was really cool, and he was nice, but it all just kind of all this stuff happens just like, especially nowadays, you could just DM anybody and like get in touch with them. So it all happens like super fast.
I mean, yeah. Even this podcast.
Yeah, that's
how I DM'd you 2 days ago or yesterday. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I'm here for 2 more days.
Yeah, well, I'll come over. But that's the best. It makes it so much more organic and like, sure, yeah, I'll come by. Yeah,
it's
cool.
So exciting.
Yeah.
What else are you doing while you're here?
So I'm doing...
You're originally New York.
Yes. I'm based in New York. Lived in Brooklyn for a while now. While I'm here... Yeah, it's been fun. I've done some... interviews, because I have a new song out. It's called Worst Life Ever. My life is the worst life ever. It's like a pop punk emo parody. I know you're a fan of that world. Yeah. So that's the song that's out right now. So I'm doing a few interviews, and then I'm DJing, doing a DJ set at Emo Night tonight, which will be fun.
Are you going in character?
Yes, I'm going to be. Great. Yeah. I got the, you know, raccoon eyes and the black nail polish. Yeah, it's going to be, I'm going all out.
Who does this song really pull from? Is it like My Chem, AFI?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, because that was, definitely My Chem is big. And
they're like that big part. That's what it feels like. And then the drums just feel like, again, that AFI, like.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I mean, as I'm sure you know well, it's like there's the emo pop punk like matrix, and there's like bands that fall on different like ends of that spectrum. So I think I tried to combine everything because it's not a parody of necessarily one specific group, but like I think I pulled elements of a lot of different. So like Blink and Sum 41 and Simple Plan, that's one side. And then you have even like also the visual like aesthetic look like My Chem and the like gothic like operatic style and like very like then also like you know like Tumblr poetry lyrics. Yeah. So all of that kind of tried to put all those pieces together. Yeah.
Who else is performing tonight?
I know that I think Chris from Saves the Day. And okay. I love Saves the Day. Yeah, but that's the only one I know, I think. Yeah.
There's gonna be a lot of I feel like random pop-ins.
Yeah.
That'll be cool. I know Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox used to go a lot.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah, I mean, I think
this episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning platform available on desktop or as an app, and that it truly immersifies you in the language that you want to learn. Maybe you have an upcoming international trip or you want to connect with a family or a friend. I know a lot of people who want to learn a new language just to pick up a new hobby. I can personally attest to this as I used Rosetta Stone when I went to Italy for my honeymoon. It helped me brush up on the Italian that I learned back in school, and I was able to get through the land and speak the native language. It made it so much more fun, plus my wife loved it. They're the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish. There's no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. Plus, there's lifetime membership and access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off that language learning. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Lightweight's podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language learning courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. It's the Joe Guarantee. In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking we could pull one of the best autographs in the game, but guess what? With zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com. The only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. What I love is the display of the available cards, the hit rates, and the grading. Arena is a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying. And with Arena Club Slab Packs, they're revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling. You can have them officially graded by Arena Club. The Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with a full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have to check out. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/lightweights. Wow, that's a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's $40 right there. Anyways, go to arenaclub.com/lightweights for 10% off your first purchase.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So it's funny, like, the song, it's actually one of my oldest bits and songs. So I've been performing this character just at like shows in New York, like little basement shows for like since like 2015.
What's like, a little basement show? Like a stand-up basement show?
Yeah, exactly. Like comedy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They so have like, those.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so because I came up in New York doing like more improv rather than like traditional stand-up. So like a lot of the like indie comedy shows I would do would be, yeah, like in a basement or like in the back of a bar or whatever, and there's like 10 people there. Like I was doing that for a long, long time. And, you know, I'd bring my acoustic guitar and play these like comedy songs. So this song, My Life is the Worst Life Ever, is like one of my older songs. So like when I first wrote it, I was parodying, yeah, that like mid-2000s wave of emo. But then it's funny, like the MGKs and some other like TikTok emo artists, now that they're coming back, like my song has a whole new layer of meaning, and it's also a parody of this new, it fits perfectly in parodying sort of like the new wave of like the MGK type emo stuff too. Yeah.
In those basement shows, what was the smallest crowd you ever performed in front of?
Oh, like one.
One person.
One. Well, actually, what? one time I did a show and it wasn't a basement show. It was in a theater, like maybe 100, 150 seat theater.
In New York City.
In New York City. And one person showed up.
Oh, that's amazing.
And so like they're all like, it's this, sloped theater, and then like literally I'm playing with my acoustic guitar for like three people like right there, and I have to look at these like rows of empty seats. And at that point I did say, I was like, it's like, fuck it. Like, and I just played Santeria. I didn't even do a comedy set. I just played Santeria and I left. Yeah. I was like, what am I doing here?
Because you had a cool story where you wanted to test out your comedy because you thought you were the funniest person in New York City.
Yes.
So when you run into something like that, does that kind of make you want to go harder, or does that steer you away from it?
It's just sort of like, and I think anyone who's done any live stuff for a long time, it's just like, it's an inevitable part of it. Like, you know, it's just, and especially like early on, you're just psyched to get booked. Like you're excited to be doing a show and have a show to go out and do and perform. Like, you know, it's not fun, but like, it's like, you can't do it without experiencing those type of shows. And I've experienced a lot of them. Yeah.
Do you have a big goal of SNL or anything?
So, like, SNL would obviously be cool. Like, I wouldn't not want to be on SNL. And I think it, like, fits my style and taste in that I do all these different characters. And, you know, it's less stand-up-y. Like, I have all these characters and I write for myself and all that stuff. Also, it, like, allow me to... It's, like, the closest job in comedy to, like, a 9-to-5 where you just... you go into work. I get to stay in New York. But like in terms of like the ultimate goal, I wouldn't say it necessarily is in that, like, I would rather have, you know, I like to be able to like have complete creative control. So like in SNL, you're like collaborating with a lot of different people. They have a specific style and format. Like you're working a lot with a lot of different writers where like I like to say like, my goal would be like the Kyle Gordon show, where it's like not necessarily tonight, like a late night show, but like a show where I can do a bunch of different, like a lot of sketch comedy or play music and just have more control over the whole vision. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. What is your process now? Is there a lot of pre-pro before you actually film and post? And do you have a high criteria for what goes up on your page?
Yeah. Nowadays, maybe a little bit higher, but I'd like to get back to, especially early pandemic days, because like the first sort of videos that I had that were like, that started to do well was November 2020, I think, like a lot of people. And that started because I set this arbitrary goal for myself. I was like, oh, I'm going to film one TikTok every day, Monday through Friday for 3 months or whatever. And then the first one blew up and I was like, well, first of all, I had never like blown up anywhere online before. So I was like, oh God, I got a million views. I am Tom Cruise. I am the most famous guy in the world. Like, cause I didn't know any better.
It was cool. I went to the bottom of your page and I'm seeing like 100 likes, 50 likes. Yeah. And I thought that was so cool that that's still there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, yeah. It's like, and it was like fun to do. And it's also like, how you can sort of chronicle the journey of all of this. I was very diligent about like trying to put out new videos every day, Monday through Friday. So, which inevitably means like And it was good. Like, I couldn't think too hard about it because, you know, you have a video to do today. Like, don't get too in your head about, like, what's going to be out there, because otherwise you'll never put anything out if you critique yourself too much. And then, you know, over the past few months, I've been just with, like, music coming out. I haven't quite posted as much. I'm a little more diligent about, like, what goes where. You know, I'm like, this might be good for TikTok, but is it good for Instagram, blah, blah, blah. But I almost would like to get back to those, like, early pandemic days of just, like, just fuck it. Just, like, put it out there, because it's much better creatively when you're not, like, you know, nitpicking every little detail of your ideas before it goes out.
So you think you are holding yourself to a higher standard now?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But I'd like to go back to, like, yeah, being a little easier on myself, yeah.
So speaking about your songs, mm-hmm. you have something coming out soon?
Yes, yeah. So the full album is coming out March 1st. And so each song on the album is like a parody of a different genre. And so everything that people have heard thus far, like Planet of the Bass, and then I've put out three songs since then, Ugliest Girl on the Beach, Girls Are the Best, and yeah, I'm really all over the map with, like, girl content. And then My Life is the Worst Life Ever is the new one. But each song is a parody of a different genre. And so, yeah, the album that comes out in March is each song, you know, there are going to be a few more songs. And yeah, I'm really excited. And there's, like, little sketch comedy bits, like, in between, kind of tying the whole thing together. So yeah, I'm really psyched.
Do you look up to anyone else in that genre?
Yeah, so I would say, like, in terms of, like, musical comedy, like, a big name for me is that I always say is Christopher Guest, who, if you like the movie Spinal Tap, is, like, his famous one. But he's done a bunch of different movies. If you haven't seen him, I recommend you check him out. Like, he's, like, a genius. And so Spinal Tap is, like, the first mockumentary movie. Not really, but, like, the first big one. And he does, like, he has a fake parody band about, like, 70s, like, hard rock, got kind of a hard rock band. And then he had a movie in the early 2000s called A Mighty Wind that was a parody of, like, 60s folk music. And he's sort of, like, my gold standard of, like, kind of what I'm doing. But also I love, like, Bo Burnham and Weird Al and, you know, all those guys.
Yeah. Did you like Bo Burnham's special from the pandemic?
Yeah. I thought that was great. I mean, yeah, that was, like, talk about, like, that was, like, the best use of pandemic time and energy. Like, I saw, yeah, it was great.
Have you talked with him at all?
No, I've never met him. Yeah.
That's a cool collab.
we shall see. I would be absolutely open to it. Also, talk about musical, underrated, like, musical comedy person is just, Trey Parker from South Park. Like, all the music in South Park is so good and, like, hilarious. And I think he's, like, underrated in terms of, like, making musical comedy.
Yeah, you don't really think of him when you're thinking of that.
Right. But,
oh,
like,
that's so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be a cool collab, too.
How'd you find out about TikTok?
So, actually, I mean, I'd heard about it as, like, a thing that's in the world, like, probably pre-pandemic, but...
Were you doing content creation before that?
Very little. Very, very little. Like, I was doing live shows in New York, but, maybe I'd put up, like, a handful of YouTube videos, but really not much. But then when the pandemic happened... So, actually, one of the videos I had done was in college. Do you remember, this is a deep cut, but do you remember the I'm Schmacked videos?
I don't.
Okay, but it's a deep cut, but they were these videos that were, like, big in the mid to, like, in the early 2010s, and they were, like, it was, like, college, it was, like, I say it's, like, college party porn, but it's not literal, it's, like, it was, like, these videos where it'd be, like, yo, what up, I'm Jace. You're here at Michigan. It's homecoming weekend. We'll show you how we like to, like, we play hard and party hard, whatever. And then it would just be a montage of kids, like, drinking and partying. And it was pretty stupid. It's like, I want to see you tonight. And it's just kids, like, partying or whatever. And so I did a parody of one of those for my, like, small liberal arts school called I'm Schmammered. And, and it was really stupid. And it was, like, making fun of how, like, you know, we didn't go to a party school, but it was like, yeah, like it's like four kids on the quad, like drinking like Natty Ice. And like that was like the big party scene in my school. So, yeah. So it like it became like sort of popular like at my school. And so much so that like, you know, many years later during the pandemic, a current student was like, oh, my God, I love this video. You should be on TikTok. Like, this is a good, this is well suited to what you do. I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. So that's how I found out, was like a fan of my very...
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Niche, you know... liberal arts parody video was like told me to go and check it out.
So did TikTok affect your live show? As far as the audience?
Yeah, yeah, yes. And it's been very interesting because, yeah, it's like, I mean, I think the audiences now are like younger and they know me from, yeah, they know me from TikTok. And they've been, I mean, it's been cool. I mean, more. I'm like able to tour now and not just play in Brooklyn.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. It's cool. And but it's been interesting because my live act has always been the music. So I started touring maybe 2 years ago or doing more shows like 2 years ago where people from TikTok and social media would come out to see the shows. And I had not really posted any of my musical comedy back then. So I think they came out and the shows were good, but they were like... shocked that I was doing music. I think they didn't know what to expect. But now that more music is out, I think it's cool that people show up and they like, they know what they're getting now. Like they know that my live act is like the music. So
would you ever do the Matt Rife crowd work with music?
I don't think that's like necessarily well suited to my strengths. Also because like, I mean, maybe if I did like, because also I don't really do stand up. So I do like, I'm never really myself on stage.
You it's know? More theater.
Yeah, it's yeah more theater, and I'm always playing a different character. So, you know, maybe if I played like a Matt Rife type character, maybe I could do it. But like, yeah, I don't know if it like, I don't know. Maybe we'll see. Maybe I'll try it out.
Who else? Do you perform with other people live during it?
Not really. No, it's like, so this new tour I'm doing in April, I'm doing some West Coast shows and then some back east, and then but I'm touring with a band, like a full band, so I'm gonna play all the songs on my album and then some more with a full band. So it's like I've started to think of it more, and that's a way in which like my live show has changed since like being online and being on TikTok, is that is like how I think of my shows. So now I think of my show as like a comedic concert rather than like a comedy show with music. So I'm like playing more traditional like rock music venues, and I'm gonna kind of just like play the songs and let the songs speak for themselves.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah, I'm psyched. I actually just opened for at San Francisco Sketch Fest for Epic Rap Battles of History, if you remember them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they were really cool, and it was very inspirational to see like they, you know, because they have all these songs, these like rap battles, and they just played the songs and like all their fans, like it was a full house, like standing room only. And they, like everyone in the crowd knew all the words. Like they weren't like playing it for like laughs, it, like you would in a comedy show. They just like played the songs. And I don't know, it inspired me to how I would think about my live show.
What did you do with Netflix Is a Joke?
So that's going to be in May. So May 6th, I'm doing a show out here at the Elysian Theater for the Netflix Is a Joke Festival. So you can get your tickets now. And yeah, and that's going to be with the full band.
That's sick.
Yeah, yeah, I'm psyched.
Have you ever done it professionally recorded?
My live show?
Yeah.
No. Well, I recorded, essentially, no. Yeah, I haven't put out any, like, as I start promoting the live shows, I'm going to release more, like, live clips, because that's another thing, like, I haven't really put out, like, a ton of live clips.
It was hard to find.
Yeah, yeah, there aren't a lot, yeah. And I think because, like, I didn't, because these songs are, now they're, like, fully produced versions are, like, out into the world. I used to do it just like me and the acoustic guitar, so like it's fun for the live show, but I don't know. Now that I'm doing it with a band, I'm psyched to release those clips because the sound on stage is closer to what people would hear in the like produced recordings, you know?
Right.
So that's sort of the thinking.
What was the reaction for the emo song? Were you worried the community was going to hate it?
I wasn't sure what to think. Well, I'll say I was very, very psyched and happy that, like, people within the community have embraced it so much. I don't know if I necessarily thought there would be, like, a huge outrage, but I thought there might be, like, skepticism. I don't know. I don't know what I thought, but I definitely am, like, super psyched and surprised almost at how overwhelmingly positive the reaction from the, like, scene has been.
I mean,
and
now you're doing emo night. That's yeah, exactly. Sick.
Yeah, that's a pretty good like stamp of approval.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, but also it's been good because I've put out so many other or you know three songs before it where it's like now it's clear what I'm doing. Like I'm parodying a bunch of different genres. Like if this had come out first, maybe there might have been a perception that like, oh, I'm just like picking on the emo world, but it's like clearly one, it comes from a place of love, like you know I grew up with all that music, but also like you know it's just one song on a whole album and each song is parodying a different genre or scene, so I think the fact that people were able to sort of digest my whole deal made it like clear what I was trying to do.
Have you released the other genres yet?
No. So
can I guess?
Yeah.
There's going to be a rap one for sure.
No, that's the one.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, why?
Yeah, well, so it's hard because I feel like there's been so much. There's been a lot of like rap comedy. Yeah. I didn't want to. I don't know. It's like I wanted to do a specific version. So here. Okay. I have an idea for my second album when I start recording it. I want to do a parody of specifically like early 2010s like frat rap, so like the Asher Roths or early Mac Miller or
Sammy Adams.
Exactly. I posted a little clip of that on like TikTok and Instagram, but I want to do like a full song in that genre, so that might be, or the like Thug Love genre of like early Ja Rule where, yeah where it would be like a beautiful like Ashanti chorus and then he'd come in like I wanna fuck you in the ass. Yeah He's like I love you all the time, like I'll do anything for you. He's like fuck you. Yeah Like so maybe in that genre, but on this specific one I haven't gotten the rap yet. Yeah,
80s rock.
Ooh, yeah, I do.
No. Like a hair band?
No, I think I would do that too. Well, also, what are they called? Steel Panther?
Yeah.
Yeah. They've done it so well. I was like, they knocked it out of the park so hard. I was like, I don't know if they did it.
Wait, they're not a real band?
No, they're like a parody, like 80, like hair metal parody band.
Actually?
Yeah.
No.
I think it's called Steel.
I think
Steel
it Panther. It is Steel Panther, but I think I thought they were real.
No. They're like a parody. that's how good they do it.
That's how good they do it.
Yeah.
I literally thought they were real.
Yeah. They are the kings of that. So like, I feel like I wouldn't want to step into their turf.
Yeah, because I just picture you with like one of those wigs and the bandana.
I know. It's tempting. Yeah, exactly right. I know. It would be fun.
Can you release one other genre that might be on there?
Yeah, so the other ones that I'm doing are, I have sort of like one that's fun is like a, I call it like late 2000s like SoCal beach pop, so like Colby Calais, Ingrid yes. Michaelson, sort of Jason Mraz-y vibe, called I Love My Boyfriend, and then I have like a traditional Irish song And then I've got a medley of children's songs with like really horrific advice for children. And then I have a sort of like an outlaw country song. So it's like, you know, it's like a country song about just like doing a lot of cocaine and being an asshole.
Are you self-releasing everything?
No, it's through a label, so yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it's cool.
That's sick.
Yeah.
Have you released that yet?
The
label stuff?
Like yeah. Everything that's come out has been through the label. Yeah. So yeah, it's been cool. It's been exciting. And yeah, it was cool. They took a big risk on me because someone from the label randomly came and saw one of my shows. And my show is weird. Like, I do all these different genres and, you know, just someone got what I was trying to do. And I had always wanted to put out my music, but I didn't really know how. And so it's been cool.
Do you work with any producers that you really want to work with? Like, someone...
Yeah, well, a producer I'd want... I mean, I have to give a shout-out to the producer of this album who produced every song.
Oh.
His name is Jamie Siegel. He's based on Long Island. Also, this particular, the new song, the My Life is the Worst Life Ever, the emo song, he's worked with, like, I knew he would do every genre well because he's just, like, extremely talented.
Yeah, that's crazy he did all those different ones.
Yes, and that's why I went with him, because I saw he, like, could work in so many different genres that I was like, I knew he would be able to capture each sound right, because, you know, like, because the big thing was like I wanted it to sound authentic. Like, I want the country song to sound like a country song, the pop punk song to sound like a pop punk song. But he's worked, his particular niche is like pop punk. So he worked on like a ton of Taking Back Sunday records. He's worked with Patrick Stump, Dashboard Confessional. So like, of all the songs, when I gave him this one, I was like, he's gonna knock it out of the park, and he did. Yeah,
that's wild.
Yeah.
Are you an analytics person?
Not really. In that, like, I mean, sort of instinctually, having done it now for a few years, I maybe have like an impulse as to like what might work or what won't, or what I think might be do well, or one that might be more niche in terms of like the videos I put out. But I don't, and I try not to, like, when I put out a video, I never think about, like, the only metric I go off of when I'm gonna like release a video is like, do I think this is good and funny? That's pretty, like, I don't think about like, oh, what's trending right now, or what, like, this type of video for me has done well, so let's do more of that. Cause like, that's how you end up like beating a dead horse, I think, sometimes.
Yeah. So when you release a song and then you do all those like unique TikToks to promote it further.
Yeah.
Are you just like, oh, that'll hit, let's try it, and then you do it that day? Or are these like very well thought out?
Somewhere in the middle. Like, so most of them aren't done that day. Like, I have them and then I, you know, will release them over the course of, you know, whatever the lifespan of the song. But yeah, a lot of them, it's not like perfectly mapped out. I mean, it also depends on the song. So like, Planet of the Bass, when I had the like three different actresses lip syncing the song, those videos were all shot and recorded before the first video ever came out. Like, so that was always the plan. But yeah, I guess somewhere in the middle. I wouldn't say I'm like a super mastermind with the entire thing, but most of it is essentially like mapped out.
Do you have a specific filmer that you like working with?
Well, my girlfriend shoots a lot of them. Yeah. Cause she's an actress, so she works at home too. But also for Planet of the Bass, I have to give a shout out to my brother, Sam Gordon, who's like really talented and edited all those videos, and so he's great to work with because he, you know, we grew up together. He can, like, he knows what I find funny and can sort of like read my mind with that stuff. So I like working with him a lot. Yeah.
Would you share those schmacked videos with him? Like, did he have that same love for the internet as you?
Ooh, probably not as much. Yeah, actually, yeah. I think he's very not online, actually. Yeah. So I think he has an Instagram. I think he posted something for his wedding, and then before that was like 3 years before that
when they got engaged.
yeah right, exactly, right. Yeah, so no, he's not a very, I mean, he's more online now that I'm online and watches my stuff, but yeah, I think our taste is more sort of like the movies and music we grew up with. Yeah, it's an interesting, yeah, he's not a very online person.
How many streams does Planet of the Bass have?
Streams? It has almost 3 million. It was like a weird thing because, yeah, it's funny. Like, the video has like 4 million views on YouTube and then 3 million on Spotify. But then like the first clip on Twitter had like 100 million views. So yeah, it was like insane. Yeah.
That you posted on your page?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And that was the crazy thing too, is that I literally, Twitter was a big part of it. Like it did well everywhere, but, when I posted it on Twitter, I just kind of did it on a lark because I was like, all right, I'm trying to post a song. I like this video. I'll just put it on Twitter. I had like literally 1,000 followers on Twitter, like when I posted that. So like I did not expect it to like catch on like that.
Did someone crazy retweet it?
I don't know. It wasn't like one crazy person. I have to give a shout out to this journalist because a lot of people have cited this to me. That this journalist from, I believe he used to work at Entertainment Weekly, his name is Mark Harris, and he has a big following on Twitter. People have cited that to me as like one of the first people that like
they saw it.
They saw it and retweeted it, and because he used to be, as far as I know, like an entertainment journalist in the 90s. So he was like, oh, I remember all these bands, and I would interview them and have to cover up the fact in the interview that none of them spoke English or whatever.
Oh,
so
that's wild.
Yeah. So. That's one person I have to give a big shout out to. It wasn't really necessarily, as far as I know, I'm sure like internet sleuths can go back and find exactly where it like spiked, but I think it just kind of started snowballing.
Who else has commented or messaged you that you kind of fangirled over?
Ooh, that's a good question. One person that was really cool. So Brian Jordan Alvarez is another comedian, actor, really, really talented guy. I'm just a huge fan of his. Everyone should go look him up. But right after my song came out, he had a song.
Planet of the Bass?
Yeah, after Planet of the Bass. Sorry, yeah. After that came out, he had a song called Sitting. Like, sitting is the opposite of standing. Like, he does this great. Yeah, but like that also started like taking off. And then like all these articles were like, it's Silly Song Summer. And like all these like, so we were the only two people. Like he's based out here and I'm in New York. So we've never actually met. But like it was cool. We spoke on the phone like in September or something, and we were like, we're the only two people in the world who like know what who have this thing going on, these like songs that started on social media and then like sort of blew up and started getting all this like media attention. So that's one guy who I had like a, I don't know, we had this like special bond of like going through the same thing at the same time.
Do you think there's gonna be a wave of it coming?
It's a good question. I mean, I hope so. Yeah, I don't know. It's been, yeah, I'm trying to think. I hope so. Yeah, it's weird to predict. Throughout like all of like music history, there are always like novelty songs, like going back to like the Monster Mash, you know, like, so there are always funny, you know, Weird Al, like, you know, those, like Weird Al, like had hits, like, you know, White and Nerdy, that was like a legitimate Billboard hit. So there have always been sort of waves of like comedy songs doing well. So I think it's hard to predict, but we'll see. I've got more music coming out. I don't know.
Is there a certain way that you like to present yourself to be appearing as funny to the general public?
Yeah. I mean, usually, yeah, being in character, I always, like, when I'm, like, trying to be funny, I find I'm, and also, like, my own taste in what I like to make and create, like, I feel a lot more comfortable in character. Like, I feel like I'm less funny in, like, this mode, you know, like, just being myself. So, like, I try not to try too hard to, like, be funny when I'm just being myself. But, yeah, I think the way I like to present myself, I am my funniest when I'm, like, in character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you workshop those? Like, do you just hang out with your girlfriend and you're like, I gotta work on this right now?
Yeah. Imagine, like, in the morning, I'm like, wake up, seriously, get out of bed right now. Like, I think she'd have a stroke. Yeah.
I'm method acting.
Yeah, I'm method. Oh, my
All
God.
Day.
Oh, God. just the thought of that is like horrifying. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't do that. But
do you talk to yourself trying to like figure out the funny lines?
Yeah. I mean, I do script everything out for the most. So like my process is like, I have a note on my phone with like thousands and thousands of ideas for like new characters and videos. And then when I want to sit down and write or film a new video, I'll like go through and try to sort which ones I think might actually be decent ideas. Cause like 98% of the ideas I write down throughout the course of the day are like trash. So I got to like sort which ones actually might be good. And then once I find one, I'll like write out like 20 lines that I think this character might say. And then when I actually go to shoot it, I film maybe 10. And then in the final video, maybe 7 or 8 or whatever, we'll make the cut. So it's just, it's about like whittling it down till you get like, you know, find the needle in the haystack of like the good, the like small gem of a good idea that, you know, from all this garbage that I like, you know, spew out onto like into my phone all day.
So what's the process? You come up with the character, then the lines, then you figure out the location, then you film it, then you edit it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, it's been good. It's been, and also like, it's, you know, not to be cliche, but it's like a 10,000 hours thing of like, I think I'm much better at it now than I was like 3 years ago. And I think I'm better at, you know, talking about like leaving old videos up, like, you know, when I was just creating a bunch, I've gotten better now, I think, at identifying, I just think the work's gotten better. And you know, I'm better at identifying before I even go to shoot something whether something might be a good idea, just because I've done so many over the years. So yeah, I think I've gotten better. I don't know.
I mean, the manager at the graveyard I thought was so funny.
Oh, thank you. I like that one too. Yeah, that one's a fun one. That was based on, I went to like a family member's funeral in New York and
I went back to the gravesite.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. No, that was too deep on Long Island, but but like there was this guy who was working there. And it's like, he's all business. He's clearly been there for 20 years. He's like, you know, a grizzled, like, you know, I don't know if they have a union, but he's just like, you know, a union great, like, funeral director. So he's just like, he's just thinking about like the 9 different funerals he's got to do today. So he's like, all right, people, get a move on. All right, I can't be here all day. We got to get the body in the ground, and then I got to go, but you know, I got 5 people waiting out in the parking lot. All right. Like, he's just like, and he's so like gruff about it. And like, yeah, like he just, and he's also such like a New York character of like totally not being like sensitive to the fact that like, cause he's been to like 20,000 funerals. So he's like, at this point, he's like, all right, come on, people. Like, I'm almost on my lunch break. Come on, let's go. Like, smoking a cigarette, like, just waiting for the, like, funeral to be done. Yeah, yeah.
I love that one, and I love the one of the guy on the island. And he's like, yeah, we ate our kids.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that was a fun one, too. Yeah, I especially last year, I really got into, I took a lot of inspiration from, I think I just read a book about, I read a book about like a shipwreck and like how they acted on the, when they like were stranded. And you get a lot of like really like, especially when from books, you get a lot more like specific visual imagery. So I like got really into last year like taking more inspiration from like books rather than like film and TV.
Yeah. Do you film and edit for different platforms differently?
No, not really. Although I will say, now that like I have more of an audience on Twitter, I definitely notice like, I'm like, this might work for TikTok and Instagram. I'm not sure it'll work on Twitter. But other than that, it's not like I specifically film something like, I'm going to put this out on YouTube, and then I film something, I'm going to put this out on another platform.
Right.
Yeah.
And do you think that it's more well perceived on TikTok versus Instagram, and like, you're like, I kind of had a feeling that was going to happen?
I think, yeah, it's, yeah. I mean, well, I think one thing too that's kind of good about TikTok is like, I've had an audience on TikTok the longest. So it's like, I feel like I started to blow up on TikTok first, and then Instagram caught up, then YouTube, and then Twitter. You know what I mean? So like, the people who've been following me for a long time on TikTok are like, have seen a lot of different stuff, and it's like a, you know, it's like a loyal audience that's been there for a long time, it feels like. So I think people on TikTok are very supportive, but I don't know, everything's pretty good across the board, but I'd say TikTok, I usually get the best response, I think.
Do you focus heavily on captions or the description?
The description less so, the like text on the screen, like the title of it, yes, because I really do try to like, it's important to like make it clear. I have no qualms about like just making it clear, right? You know, in all my videos, the title of the video will be there in the first 5 seconds. So, you know, like, here's what you're watching. This is what the joke is. And I'm going to play this joke out for the next minute or so. So I do think actually pretty hard about like, or I try to like think about what those titles will be. The description less so, just because like what's going to catch your eye is that title.
Yeah. Is there a sweet spot for how long you want them to be?
Oh, like in terms of words?
No, sorry. The length of the video overall.
Oh, the length of the video. Yeah, like I've found is like 40 to 50 seconds. Yeah.
Oh, you don't go over a minute.
No. Yeah, I know TikTok is really trying to encourage people to go over a minute now. I still haven't really done over a minute too, like very, very few times. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. So it's interesting. I mean, I feel like it's cool because like I've kind of just like everyone who's on the app has like just figured it out as you go along, and the app has changed a lot over the years and what works and what doesn't. So it's always very interesting. Also, I like, you know, I've experienced what a lot of people do is like, you know, you curse or you do anything and they're pretty strict about that on. Yeah, exactly. So I had to learn that the hard way, but yeah.
What does 3 million TikTok followers get you?
Good question. I mean, sometimes on the subway, you know, I like to say, like, again, like, it's a cool place to be in terms of like, there is this audience of people who know who I am, but it's very interesting type of notoriety or whatever, because people, like the people who know me, they really know me, and then the people who don't know me have no idea who the fuck I am. So it's like, it's not like maybe 20, 30 years ago, someone who might have been like a well-known person, like even if you don't, just because the mass media was more centralized, it's like you, even if you didn't know who.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
They were, you might have heard of them or something. Like, I think if you don't know who I am, you really don't know who I am. And so it's kind of nice in that, like, when I'm on the subway, the 3 million followers, pretty much it gets me, like, someone being like, hey, nice. You know, that's my experience of day-to-day in New York. It's like, it's amazing. It's like, again, I'm not like Tom Cruise where I, like, can't go out of the house, obviously. But it's like also, you know, once a day or like once every couple of days, like someone will give me like a nice compliment. And that's the best part of it.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
You were in an a cappella group?
Yeah.
Are you still doing that anymore?
No, unfortunately. But it did, you know, help improve my singing and taught me a lot about like arranging music and stuff. So yeah, I did it in high school and then college too.
That's so, yeah, because I had no idea that you were, like, trained in singing.
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, like, not formal training, but, like, it's sort of a 10,000 hours thing. And, like, just because I've been playing music a lot, writing songs. You know, I did a cappella for a long time. So, yeah, I guess I have a background in music. And, I think, like, if if there's anything in this world like I love and care about, it's music. So I think that's why I'm like, I gravitate towards doing musical parodies, because it's just a thing that I care about and know about, you know? So, yeah.
When you wake up every morning, do you feel like you have a path of where you're supposed to go?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, yeah, like I feel like, yeah, like I feel like, that's a good question. I mean, yeah, I know I'm excited about the work I'm doing. I'm excited about the work that I have to do. And also, like, now because of, you know, I have an audience online, like I have the freedom to really focus all my time and energy into, I mean, I don't know. I feel like the purpose of life is just to create things that you care about. And so now I have the freedom to do that every day. So yeah, to answer your question, I think yes.
When did that become full-time for you?
Would have been probably sometime like 2021. Yeah, because...
Did you leave your old job?
Yeah, yeah.
What were you doing?
Customer service.
Where?
I was at a tech company in New York called Yext. It was a good job. Yeah, it was a great job. And so, yeah, I was doing that for a few... I had so many jobs. I worked in customer service. Before that, I was like... I kind of worked in PR briefly. I was like in the New York guy for like an LA office. So I didn't actually do any of like the hard PR work. I would just like babysit like people as they went around to like their New York press events. Actually, I don't think I've ever gotten to talk about this. So I worked with, do you know McKenna Grace, the actress? She's like she was a child actress at the time. Now she's in the new Ghostbusters movie. Who else did I work with? Skye Jackson, who's like another it was a lot of Disney stars and stuff and like child actors. So like when they would come to New York for like their press events, I would like babysit them. Also before that, I worked like, I was cooking in a restaurant. I was bartending.
Oh, you're all over the board.
So many jobs. I was like an assistant. Yeah, I had a lot of jobs.
Damn.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Well, we have the new album coming out soon.
Yeah.
Emo Night Tonight.
Yeah.
When's the next song coming out? Are you already working on the music video?
Oh yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna, when I get back to New York, I'm gonna film a bunch of stuff. I think I'm gonna try to film sort of like social media content for all the different songs. And I'm gonna work on that when I get back. But the whole album comes out March 1st, and then you'll probably see some like videos teasing all the different songs coming out over the next few weeks.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Cool. Kyle, thanks so much for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is great.
Cool. Lightweights out. Sick. That was great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks.